So today we are starting a brand new series called This is Thanksgiving. And what I'm thankful for is that in our nation, every year, we are forced to give thanks. With our Thanksgiving celebration coming up next week, it's a really cool opportunity to wrestle with the internal voices that we hear all the time, to wrestle with our internal attitudes as well. We're forced to look in the mirror and ask the question, am I cultivating an attitude of gratitude, or am I a constant complainer? And how do you know? So here's a good test. When someone asks you, how are you doing? And once you get past, well, I'm doing fine, I'm doing okay, do you immediately start to enumerate all the blessings that God has showered upon you, or do you start talking about that bullet point list of all your woes, all the problems that you're facing? Maybe you even go to the extent of going into great detail. For example, when you were on the road the other day and you got caught in traffic, you're coming home, and it's bumper to bumper, people are honking, they're driving like idiots, and there's just a little bit of space between you and the other car, and this big diesel pickup truck comes and tries to squeeze, and they're almost causing an accident. And as you're telling this story, you can smell the diesel fuel, and it gets you just as angry as it did the first time. Or maybe you're at the store the other day, you're at Aldi's, and you're shopping, and you have just a few items in your hands, and the lady in front of you, her cart is stacked, and even, you know, the undercarriage is just full, and she turns around, she looks at you, and you're like, oh, she's going to let me go ahead of her, and she gives you this, you know, looks you up and down, and goes, and doesn't let you go ahead, but she makes you sit there and wait an eternity to buy your groceries. Do you see what I'm saying? Literally, are you visualizing what I'm saying? Can you see that big monster truck and smell the diesel fuel? Can you see the rude lady? Right? It's so easy and almost fun to complain, isn't it? We can get into that mode of telling the story and allowing it to kind of re-grip you once again. And what's interesting is that researchers have proven that the more we complain, the better we get at it. They've also proven that the more we complain, the more detrimental it is to our physical health. Research from Stanford University has shown that complaining shrinks the hippocampus, an area of the brain that's critical to problem solving and intelligent thought. Damage to the hippocampus is scary, especially when you consider that it's the one of the primary sections that Alzheimer's attacks. When you complain, your body also releases a stress hormone called cortisol. Cortisol shifts you into the fight or flight mode, directing oxygen, blood, and energy away from everything except for the systems that are essential to immediate survival. One effect of cortisol, for example, is to raise your blood pressure and your blood sugar so that you can be prepared to either escape or defend yourself. All that extra cortisol released by constant complaining impairs your immune system and makes you more susceptible to high cholesterol, diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. And it can even make the brain more vulnerable to strokes. Those are the physical ramifications of complaining. There are also spiritual ones. And the Apostle Paul, who legitimately had a lot to complain about, warns us about complaining in Philippians chapter 2. This is what he wrote in this letter to his friends. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Would you read that with me since it's in yellow? Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Okay, so since you just preached that, you have to put it into practice, okay? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. So what Paul is saying to us is that if you are a child of God, if you claim that title, he says, we are not to continue to grumble or argue or complain about what we have, but we are to grow and become blameless and pure and cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And today, an unlikely individual who also legitimately had a lot to complain about is going to teach us what it means to see your thank you and also to say your thank you. And that individual was a leper. Lepers are people who have the skin disease called leprosy, which affects the mucous membranes of your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your throat, your intestines. It also causes nerve damage. There's reports that many people who have leprosy, either they burn themselves or cut themselves severely without noticing it because they didn't feel the pain. A really gross one I heard was somebody was sleeping and rats came along and ate off their toes and they didn't even know about it. That's how bad this disease is. Now, thankfully, for the most part, leprosy has been eradicated throughout the world, but there are some places where medicine is not readily available that there is still leprosy. It's estimated about 2 to 3 million people that still have this disease, and there are thousands of leper colonies all throughout the world. And these are designated areas where people with leprosy are sent to live so that they won't contaminate other people. Obviously, being a leper is a very lonely life. In biblical times, lepers were not allowed to live in the cities. They had to live on the outskirts. They couldn't live with their friends or family or communities. Many of us will be celebrating Thanksgiving next week with our friends and family. They wouldn't have been able to do something like that. So just imagine for a second not being able to ever hug your parents again, or to hold your child in your lap, or to hold your spouse's hand and squeeze it. Lepers were not allowed to do that. For many of them, it was a life sentence of complete isolation. And on top of that, they were also considered ceremonially unclean. That means that they were a living, breathing, visual representation of sin and its effects. Sin kills us from the inside out. Sin separates us from those we love. Sin separates us from God. That was the stigma that these lepers felt. And they were mandated then to wear torn clothes, to grow out their hair, to cover their faces, and anywhere they went, they would have to shout, "Unclean, unclean," so that people would stay away from them. Like I said, this leper that we're going to talk about had plenty to complain about. He legitimately had a bad life. But what we're going to see is that in the midst of his horrible life, he managed to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And his story is found in one of the biographies written about the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 17. This is what it says. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So Luke, all throughout his gospel, made it abundantly clear he always wanted to keep our focus on the fact that Jesus was headed to Jerusalem so that we could focus on his most important miracles. So anytime Jesus went into a town, anytime he healed someone, anytime he performed a miracle, it was always pointing ahead to the two most important miracles of him dying on the cross to pay for the sins of the world and of him rising from the dead. Which the implications of those two miracles is that anyone who puts their faith in Jesus as their Savior will have their sins washed away and they will have eternal life. That there is physical and spiritual healing and the resurrection of the dead. And that's what Luke wants us to focus on. And that's what keep in mind as we keep going here. So along the way to Jerusalem, Jesus decides to stop in this village on the border of Samaria and Galilee. And there on the outskirts, he meets these men who shout loudly, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So again, they're not allowed to get close to Jesus. You can visualize them covering themselves, but they're reaching out to him. And being that this was towards the end of Jesus' ministry, word would have gotten around all over the place. Wherever Jesus went, he was famous, he was popular. They had heard about him healing the blind, the deaf, the mute, the lepers. And so these guys, knowing that their disease was incurable, he was their last hope. He was the only one they felt and believed that could heal them. So therefore, they cry out to him. Now, I don't want you to miss the desperation of these guys. Because I think in a lot of ways, you and I, even though we don't have leprosy, we can relate to their situation. That there are times in our lives where we feel like there's nothing that can help us, that we're stuck in these situations, especially in certain relationships. If you're a child, and you can be an old child. I mean, my parents are in their 80s, or my dad is at least. Sorry, Mom. But even at my age, I still want my parents' approval. Right? I want them to say, "That a boy." But no matter who you are, does it ever feel like mom and dad never say, "Good job," that they're never proud of you, that they only point out the negative, and you just wish once they'd say, Good job. We're glad that you did that. Or if you're a student, and maybe you don't have a lot of friends, and you walk through the hallways just wishing, hoping, praying that maybe someone will say hi to you, someone will notice you, and ask if you're doing okay. Some of you, you live alone. You don't have a ton of friendships, and sometimes you're just waiting, will someone call me? Does anyone care? Maybe just a random knock at the door and someone just comes to visit you and say, hey, what's up? Or for those of you who are married, ladies, does it ever feel like your husband doesn't understand your needs? He doesn't see you the way that you want him to see you? Or guys, have you felt like for a while now you're in the season where your wife doesn't see you? That she doesn't notice you and your needs? We've all been in that situation as those lepers, stuck, like, I don't know what to do, I've tried everything. And we get to that point of desperation and we cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me, have pity on me, with that hope that he'll do something, that he'll change our situation. And what's amazing is that what he did for these men is he changed their situation. This is what it says. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. Now, I highlight these words here, saw and show, because I was struck by this. They cried out to him, and you would assume that the next thing it would say is he heard them, right? They cried out, Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he heard them, but it doesn't say that. It says he saw them. And then right after, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And I believe Luke, who was a doctor, was very meticulous in what he did, was doing this on purpose to get us to start seeing there's something going on here with this visual language that Jesus is using. And what's interesting is that, did Jesus say you're healed? Did he say, when you on your way, you're going to get healed? He just said, go. Now, these guys could have pushed back and said, that's not how it works, Jesus. Because back then, they would have known very well the book of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14, where it has the laws. If you have an infectious skin disease and you think you're healed, you have to go to the priest, show yourself to him, and then he looks you over and says, yep, this is good. You can go back into the community. But if you were to go there still with your infectious disease, he's going to say, why are you wasting my time? And so the lepers could have said, you know, this Jesus, we don't want to be ridiculed by the priest. This is pointless. And if we go there, we might get somebody else sick. But they didn't do that. What did they do? They left in faith. They went. They turned and they started walking. And they obeyed what Jesus told them to do. Now here's what it says. And as they went, they were, read that with me, cleansed. They were cleansed. So just visualize this for a second. These guys whose fingers are probably looking like this right now, they're walking along, and all of a sudden, I got fingers again. Right? Their skin is completely clear. And they're looking at each other. They probably don't have a mirror with them everywhere they go, but like they're looking at each other like, yeah, what? Oh my goodness. Just the joy that they're experiencing at this moment, that Jesus healed them on their way. And now what? This is not just, hey, I look good and I can feel proud about myself in the mirror, but I get to hang out with my family. I get to celebrate Shabbat, the Sabbath, with them again. I get to hold my wife for the first time in who knows how long. I get to play with my kids. I get to be back in this community. They were no longer this walking, talking example of sin personified. They were healed. They were cleansed. And how did that happen? Because Jesus saw them. Because Jesus heard their cry for mercy. Can I tell you something? Jesus sees you too. He hears your cries for mercy as well. But instead of saying going, he says come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You are cleansed, you are forgiven. You are loved. And guys, he says, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. And ladies, he says, you are my daughter. And with you, I am well pleased. Isn't that amazing news? And it's the truth. So what do we do with that truth? How do we respond to that? Well, this is where Luke introduces us to the one lone leper. And this is what he says. He says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. So I'm sure this was obnoxious. Praise God! Woo! You know, he's jumping and singing. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Isn't that an interesting reaction? So this guy's praising Jesus with all of his heart. He's like, yeah, but where are the other 9? Where were they, by the way? What were they doing? Exactly what Jesus told them to do. Isn't that interesting? Where are they? Well, they're doing what you told them to do, Jesus. Right? They were obeying. They were going to go show themselves to the priest. And in fact, you could probably imagine them saying, what is that stupid Samaritan doing? We got to go show ourselves to the priest if we want to get back into the community. And so they went intent on obedience. But here's the thing. They forgot to thank the one who had allowed them to be obedient in the first place. See, it's not wrong to be obedient, but it's wrong to forget why we're obedient. Most of us grew up having it drilled into our impressionable minds that when someone does something nice for you, you say what? Thank you. And you don't just say it, you have to say it, right? You have to say thank you, Dan. Okay, thank you. You have to do it. You know, it's this obligation. And so how many times have you told God thank you solely out of obligation because you know it's the right thing to do? Like before a meal. Like, all right, it's time to pray. Let's do this. And you say a prayer that you've probably said a million times. And my question to you is, do you still think about the words you say? Or you just rush through it, get done, and time to eat? Or maybe before bed, you're like, all right, my routine is I got to thank God for the day. So God, thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my car. Thank you for my clothes. Amen. But then immediately you start to replay the day and you complain about your family who annoyed you. Your friends that failed you, your house that's falling apart, your car that's broken down, and your clothes that have holes in them. What I'm saying is sometimes we obey God's commands, we do what he tells us to do, while forgetting why we obey them in the first place. And what the Samaritan leper reminds us is that we shouldn't obey just to obey, but we should obey understanding who our God is and how amazing he is and what he has done for us and that he has called us into this eternal relationship with him, which is the best gift that he could ever give us. See, eventually, the leper was going to go show himself to the priest. He was going to obey Jesus. He was going to do what he was supposed to do. But in that moment of healing, he knew that the most important thing was to thank the one who had made him whole, not to go and show himself to the person that was just going to say, you're whole. See, true obedience overflows from an attitude of gratitude. Look back at this verse with me. Again, it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed. This sticks out to me in this verse is that he literally saw himself, his hands. And he's like, oh, this is good. He's visualizing what is good. And he's healed by the one who had seen him. And what he's teaching us is to visualize the things that we're thankful for. It's easy to say thank you to God without the praise behind it. It's easy to say thank you to God without the praise behind it. But when we take the time to visualize the good, it's amazing. It's life-changing. Just like it's very easy to visualize the not-so-good, horrible, bad days that we've had and express them and talk about them and feel that inside, which is not good for you. Now we can exchange that for seeing what God is doing on the good side, that we can see our thank you before we say our thank you. And I'll give you some examples. I know that it's good and right for me to thank God for my family, and I do. And there are times where I say, like Eeyore, you know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? He's like, Eeyore, right? So sometimes, I'm sure I sound like to God, thank you for my family. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids, all my kids. Amen. Right? That's not joyful at all. But I said it. I said the words thank you out of obligation. But now, what the leper has taught me is to visualize this. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, we got to go to an amazing wedding. And we're there, and she's dressed to the nines. She's got this beautiful dress on. I got my brand new suit on. It fits me. Right? It's great. And we get to sit and have this beautiful meal. It was amazing. And enjoy some drinks and sit around this table with friends and have great conversations and laugh. And then they had a dance where, they bring the couples up to see who's been married the longest. That's the only dance my wife would dance with me. But we danced. It was amazing, right? So as I'm thinking about this, what does it do? It brings praise into my heart, and I am thankful. With my kids, the weather's been nice, praise God. And I have this game that I play with Nehemiah. We play catch. He's big into football. And so we started doing this thing where he dropped the ball. I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay you any millions of dollars anymore if you can't catch the ball, right? So I'm like, he's like, all right, well, how much is this worth, Dad? And I'm like, $10 million. And I throw it, and he catches it. He's like, oh, great. How much is this worth? $5 million. And he misses it, so we subtract that from his contract. And we... Great math game. But sometimes he has these Odell Beckham catches where he grabs it by one hand, you're right on the concrete on the street. I'm like, ooh, that hurts. But I visualize this, and just like you're laughing right now, what does it do? It's like, oh, this is awesome. Fills you with praise, and you're thankful. What he's teaching us, this former leper, is that it's good for us to take the time to visualize the blessings that God has given to you and me. See your thank you. And then say your thank you. Because we have so much to be grateful for, just like that leper did. Look at this last verse here. Jesus told him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. And I'll get a little nerdy on you. In the Greek language, the word well is sozo. Everybody say that with me. Sozo. So you can go home and tell all of your friends, I know Greek, all right? Sozo. The other way that can be translated is your faith has saved you. And I wonder if the original Greek audience, when they're reading this or hearing this, they would have gotten that double blessing. That his faith in Jesus healed his physical body, but not only that, it healed him spiritually. That his faith in Jesus took his sins away. And I wonder, it doesn't tell us this, but I wonder if at that time, the leper would have thought back and thanked God for his leprosy. And thought to himself, if I hadn't had leprosy, would I have ever seen my need for Jesus? Would I ever cried out to him and asked him to have mercy? Would I have ever had that opportunity to fall at his feet and thank him and praise him for the restoration that he brought into my life? Because what he's teaching us is not only to thank God for the physical healings that we experience sometimes, but even understand that sometimes God will use the hurt to bring us closer to him. I think of a guy I spent some time with at a men's retreat years ago, and he shared with me his testimony that he had had brain cancer, a brain tumor. And he said, sometimes I wish I still had that tumor. And the reason he said that, he says, sometimes I wish I still had that tumor because during that time is when I felt the closest to God. That difficulty, that pain is what drew him closer to God. And I know it sounds weird and counterintuitive, but it is okay to thank God for the pain and the troubles and hardships that you and I go through. Because I wonder how many of you can tell me a story, and we can do this later, but you can think back to a time, and maybe it's even now, where God allowed a difficulty in your life that caused you to come back to him, to draw closer to him, to cry out to him like the lepers did, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, save me. Many of you have done that. Many of you have gotten that answer. Many of you even have received healing in your lives. And maybe his response was like the one he gave, but maybe his response was like the one he gave to the Apostle Paul, where Paul pleaded three times, Lord, take this away, take this away, take this away. And God said, no. Instead, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And maybe you're in that season where God is teaching you, you have to keep going through this And you may not understand it, but I want you to understand that my strength is made perfect through your weakness. And we can thank God for that. And my encouragement to all of you is that if it's been a while since you've cried out to Jesus, now's the time. He's waiting. He's listening. He's looking. He sees you. Call on his name, and he will fill you with that attitude of gratitude, that you'll be able to see the world now in a completely different way, in a joy-filled way. And if you are struggling with what we began with this habitual complaining, this is where you and I get to repent to God. We can ask him by the power of his Holy Spirit to change that around, to help us now be able to see all the things in our lives, good or bad, difficult or easy, the way that he sees them, and to have this attitude of gratitude. That it helps us understand that we need his mercy for every aspect of our lives, that you get to visualize and do this. Because so often, how often are we burdened by our own sins, and we try to figure out ways to deal with them on our own. And yet, why do we have images like that, like a cross in the church? So that you can look at that and remind yourself, Jesus died there for me. And my faith in Jesus has made me well. It's not just the faith, but it's the object of my faith. And what did he do? He took them away. He cleansed me. He cleansed you. So often in this life, we don't allow ourselves to slow down and do that. But I give you permission today. The leper gives you permission. Jesus gives you permission to slow down and visualize your thank you. See your thank you and say your thank you. Not out of obligation, but with praise and joy in your heart. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word that comes alive for us and reminds us of how good you are. And Lord, like that leper, we can thank you for the difficulties that we have in our lives. It's hard. It truly is hard. But Lord, you're using everything for our good to draw us closer to you, to help us to see that the greatest gift is not something that you've given us, but it is you, your person in and of himself. So Lord, thank you for this opportunity, and help us all to leave this life of complaining and constantly look to you with that attitude of gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.